Why is the Bible the most burnt book in history? Stop, young person, and think, what is it? Why does Satan hate it? Why is it burnt?
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening, Pastor Brian Grant continues a message series that answers some of today's toughest questions. Tonight's question is this: is the Bible really reliable? Listen with us now as Pastor Grant offers four proofs of the Bible's reliability. Here is Pastor Grant with Is the Bible Really Reliable?
A couple wanted to strengthen their marriage and decided they'd start doing a hobby that allowed them to spend more time together. And after considering all their options, they decided that they would take up duck hunting. Any duck hunters here? Any duck hunters here? Let me see all the duck hunters. Well, I guess I can only see that on TV. We don't have any duck hunters here today. Well, the next Saturday morning, they went to the store and they bought themselves a good hunting dog. And they bought themselves, of course, you need a gun, you need a shotgun. And so they got themselves a shotgun and a good hunting dog. And off they went to spend the rest of the day duck hunting. They were duck hunting all day. And as night was falling, it started to get darker. And they still hadn't caught a duck. And the husband, he was so discouraged, he told his wife, he said, "Honey, we must be doing something wrong. We've been duck hunting all day. We have nothing to show for it." The wife said, I think maybe if we threw the dog up a little higher in the air, he may be able to catch a duck. This poor couple didn't have a clue. I am no duck hunter, but I know that no matter how high you throw a dog, he ain't going to catch a duck. They were trying to do with the dog what the gun was intended to do. If you're going to bring down a duck, you got to have some firepower. Am I right about that? And sadly, there are parents today who are trying to use the wrong tools to raising their children. Because if you're going to raise children who love and honor God, you're going to need this book. Am I right about it? You're going to need the Bible. But sadly, the Bible is one of the very neglected books. And part of the reason I believe that it's neglected is because we're not confident that the Bible is really reliable. I believe even some Christian parents are not so sure how reliable the Bible is. Can I rely on this book as I raise my children? So this morning, as we continue our series, I want to speak today on the question, is the Bible really reliable? It's a message for teens, it's a message for young adults and for young people. And parents, I am hoping that the message that I am sharing in this series, you will actually go home and go through some of this with your children to reinforce some of what we are sharing. So you make sure you pull out your insert and you take notes as we go through. It's a message for young people, but it's also a message for adults and parents. And I trust this morning all the men, all the fathers will really lock into what God has to say today. Because perhaps if you really get a grasp of what God is saying, you'll realize how important it is that you become a student of God's word and that you share it with your family. What does it mean? Let's get going. Here's the first question and something for you to put down. What does it mean that the Bible is reliable? It means that everything in the Bible is true. And so the Bible, what? Is totally what? Totally trustworthy. Let me share with you four proofs of the Bible's reality. Write this down. The first proof of the Bible's reliability is the Bible's indestructibility. The Bible's indestructibility. Isaiah chapter 40. If you'd meet me there at Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 8. And here's how it reads. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our God, what? Stands forever. The grass withers, the flowers fades, but the word of our God, what? Stands forever. Why? Because the Bible is indestructible. You may not realize this, but Satan hates the Bible and would like to totally eradicate it from the face of the earth. In 303 AD, the Roman Emperor Diocletian ordered that all Bibles should be burnt, and that anyone who had a Bible and hid it, and it was later discovered that they had hidden their Bible, that person would also be burned to death. The edict also said that if you knew someone with a Bible, just imagine how much Satan hates the Bible. If you even knew somebody with a Bible and you did not report that your friend had a Bible, you would also be burned to death. What would you have done? If having a Bible means you're going to be burned to death, what would you have done? 2 years after his edict, Emperor Diocletian boasted, "I have completely eradicated the Bible from the face of the earth." But he was wrong, for the Bible is right now what? The world's best-selling book. Did you know that? The Bible that Satan hates and Satan wanted to be eradicated and that the emperor had declared was totally eradicated is right now the best-selling book. You see, Isaiah had prophesied what? The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Hallelujah. Praise God for his indestructible word. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, 35, Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will never disappear." That's Matthew 24, 35. The devil will never be able to eradicate the Bible, for it is God's indestructible word. But Diocletian was not the only person Satan used to try to eradicate the scriptures from the world. There were others. For example, after Alexander the Great, the Jews were ruled by a brutal Greek ruler, and you've probably heard his name, Antiochus Epiphanes, and he also tried to destroy the scriptures. The historian Josephus tells us that anyone who was found with a copy of the Jewish scriptures was killed. Satan hates the Bible. Young people, get this. When you hear criticism and challenges to this book, God wants you to know from an early age, Satan hates the Bible, and you can expect that the Bible is going to be challenged. But don't you waver. This is God's indestructible word. Why does Satan hate the Bible so much? Why is the Bible the most hated book in history? Come on, stay with me now. Why is the Bible the most hated book in history? Why is the Bible the most banned book in history? And this is fact. Why is the Bible the most burnt book in history? Stop, young person, and think. What is it? Why does Satan hate it? Why is it burnt? Write this down. I believe Satan hates the Bible because he knows the Bible is the word of God. Make no mistake, you may be here sitting and you're questioning whether the Bible is the word of God. Satan knows it is. From Satan's standpoint, the authenticity of the Bible is not a problem. Here you are, raised in a Christian family and questioning, is this real? The devil has no questions. He knows it's the real deal. And this is why Satan is doing every single thing. Satan hates the Bible because he knows the Bible is the word of God and that it will transform anyone who commits to reading and obeying it. Listen, you want me to say it to you another way? Satan knows if you get serious about this book, he will lose his control over you. Do you hear what I'm saying? Satan does not want you to get into this book. Because if you start reading and obeying it, Satan's control over your, he will lose his grip, because there is power in the word of God. There is power. Psalm 119. Let me put that verse on the screen. Psalm 119, verse number 9. Here's how it reads in the message. How can a young person live a clean life? Oh, you got issues? Right now, you must might be struggling with some addiction or something in your life you wish you could change. How can a person, young person, live a clean life? The Bible says, by carefully reading the map of your word. God is saying, the psalmist says, by carefully reading the map of God's word, this book, your life can be changed, because there's power in God's word. Daddy, do you read it regularly? Daddy, this is Father's Day. Daddy, are you reading God's word regularly? Daddy, are you teaching your kids this book? Oh, you say, oh, mom does it. No. Oh, we're going to come there eventually. But Daddy, are you teaching your kids this book? Are you obeying it in your own life? Proof number one, that the Bible is God's word and is reliable, is the Bible's indestructibility. But second, the Bible's historic and geographic accuracy. The second proof, the Bible's historic and geographic accuracy. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 11. Here's how it reads in Genesis chapter 11, verse 31. It says, Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarah, his son Abraham's wife, and they went out with them from where? Where did they leave from? Ur of the Chaldees, to go to the land of Canaan, and they came to Haran and dwelt there. So the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now the Lord had said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you, and you, all the families of the earth, shall be blessed. But where did Abraham leave from? Abraham left from Ur of the Chaldees. Satan's attempt to eradicate the Bible, all his attempts, and there have been several, all his attempts to eradicate the Bible from the earth has failed. Satan is using a different approach. And Satan's approach today is to challenge the credibility of the Bible. Have you ever heard anyone say, the Bible is full of errors? If you've ever heard it, raise your hand. Have you ever heard anyone say the Bible is full of errors? Where do you think that's coming from? Where do you think this whole idea that the Bible is full of errors? And teenager, young adult, if you haven't heard it yet, just wait a minute. It's coming soon. The Bible is full of errors. You know, some who say it are just parrots. You know what a parrot does? He just repeats what other folks say. Half of the people who tell you the Bible is full of errors, all you got is ask them, could you show me a few of them? I really don't. They were just parrots. But there are others who are really not parrots. There are some folks who are not parrots at all. There are some people who will say the Bible is full of errors because they really believe it is, because there are things the Bible says that they cannot prove. And from their standpoint, if they cannot prove what the Bible says, then the Bible must be wrong. But just because right now you cannot prove what the Bible said, don't conclude the Bible is wrong. For centuries, skeptics said that mentioned here so clearly in the Bible, you may not know that, skeptics said that this was false. There was no Ur because they could not find it. They said Ur and many of the other cities mentioned in the story of Abraham, they tell us these things never existed because we had no evidence. But in the 1920s, Ur was discovered by archaeologists, along with many of the cities mentioned that they said did not exist. They were found in the 1920s. The Bible had always been right. Because the Bible can never be wrong. Because it is God's word. So when you see something in the Bible that you don't understand, instead of saying the Bible is wrong, just wait. Ask God to reveal what he's saying and hang around for a while. At one time, skeptics said the Bible's account of Joseph was false. Did you know that? They said the account of Joseph was false, for there was no evidence that Joseph was ever prime minister in Egypt. They're not saying Joseph did not exist, because that is historic fact. What they were saying, there was no evidence he was ever this big official that the Bible said he was. But in the 1920s, engravings were found in a tomb in Egypt, exactly matching the description of Joseph's installation as prime minister of Egypt. The Bible was always. So forget the critics, for although they may say the Bible is full of errors, write this down, young person, write this down and never forget this. Although people may say the Bible is full of errors, nothing in either the Old or New Testaments has ever been proven to be false. I want to say that again, because sometimes we don't realize this. All this criticism about the Bible is false. Nothing in either the Old or New Testament has ever been proven to be false. So don't allow godless skeptics to shake your confidence in the Bible. For nothing in the Bible has ever been proven to be false. And nothing will ever be proven to be false. Why? Because the Bible is the word of God, and God cannot make a mistake. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. God cannot make a mistake. God's holy word can therefore be relied on from cover to cover. Daddy, father, this book can be relied on. And if it tells you how to discipline your child, and if it tells you how to raise your child, grab hold of it. We are failing as parents and we're failing as fathers because we have neglected the word of God, and God's word has instruction as to what we should do and how we should raise our children. Daddy, it's time. It's time to look into this book. It's time to follow the authority that's come from heaven. And may God challenge us as men that we might live by it, that we might be tender with our wives. Oh, I wish I don't have time. This is not what I want to talk about, but I may as well say, since the Lord put. Because some of us daddies, you know, we're too gruff with our wives and our children. Oh, it's a matter of love. Somebody is about love, amen? Oh, honey, flax tracks that fly much more than anything else. Oh, sweetness. Are you a sweet daddy? Are you a good, good father? Are your father that your children say, he's a sweet dad, he's a funny dad? Well, let me get back to my text. We can know the Bible is reliable, first, because of its indestructibility, but second, because of its historic and geographic accuracy. But write this down. Here's the third one. Because of the Bible's prophetic accuracy. Let me share with you two what I will have to describe as amazing example of Bible prophecies that have been fulfilled. Here's the first one I want you to put in your notes. Israel's rebirth as a nation. In about AD 70, the Roman Emperor Vespasian ordered Titus to launch a brutal attack against Israel. Vespasian has always taken my interest. Some years ago, we were in Bath, England, at one of these Roman baths that still is existing from the time of Jesus. It's still sending in all this water, this hot thermal water. And here I was at the bath. The name Bath in England actually is because of all these Roman baths. So here we were standing by this therapeutic bath, and there on the statue was Emperor Vespasian. I had never heard of Vespasian, so I decided to make a study of Vespasian, only to find out Vespasian was the one who became the emperor after Nero killed himself. If I had time, I would describe a little bit more. Bottom line, I have to just... So let me just give you a quick story. Israel was surrounded by Titus. Somewhere about AD 68, Israel was surrounded. And the Bible had said that when you see all of this, run. So you may say, how did they run? Well, they were able to run because of all the drama that was taking place in Rome. This is extra, by the way. All of this drama was going by in Rome. Nero had killed himself, and four major generals were now vying to become the emperor. Everything slowed down, and the Jews, you see how specific the Bible is? The Bible told you to run. So some had run, and then Vespasian ordered Titus to finish the job. And so Titus went in and made the most brutal attack against the Jews. Those of you who are coming with us to Israel this year, we'll go up to Masada and see the story and hear the story of Israel's last stand at Masada. But here's the bottom line. Israel was brutalized. The temple was destroyed. As many of us know, the temple was destroyed. And Israel, to save their lives, they were scattered around the entire world. This is why there's almost no place in the world you will go and not see Jews. They were running for their lives.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.